Welcome back to the Last Lap podcast. Thank you all for joining us on this Tuesday, 6 p.m. Typically, we get this uploaded, don't we, Niren?
Indeed, Dan.
On all your best platforms, your Spotify's, your Apple Podcasts, your YouTube's,
yeah,
if you
want to
look at our faces.
Yeah,
don't know why you'd want to do that.
Yeah, we don't have our mascot today, unfortunately.
No.
In Minton. That would be great.
You know what?
That always feels like a real treat for the visual listeners.
Yeah,
I think.
But I don't want to, like, overexpose,
you know. Yeah, no, facts, you know,
trying to keep him in the and plus he's like, I was thinking about bringing him, but whenever I walk him to the station and I didn't have time, basically, because he always eats weeds, you know, like weeds, like lying he's always scrambling the weeds.
Yeah, fairs.
I don't know. He acts like we don't feed him.
Yeah. That's crazy. I could make a joke, but I'm not going to, because we're really early in the podcast, so probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
but
maybe later on, then it won't.
We'll circle back to that one.
How been, man? Good.
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad. Fully recovered from the weekend now.
Cyber match.
Superseding events after that as well.
Of course. When are we going to get like a F1 racing equivalent to that,
because that would be cold. Should we all just go Silverstone with our own cars? I don't even drive with our own cars. Well, just like,
it is a thing, because in France, I can't remember the names.
Paul Ricard,
yes,
at the French Grand Prix track. Yeah, they
organized their own cars. And they've had like months of training, all these creators, and they had Esteban and Pierre involved as well. And it was like an equivalent to the Sidemen Charity match, but it was a. That's sick, man.
That's crazy. But the money to do that must be so much higher than the money to do a charity match.
Yeah.
I mean, then again, I suppose that's, you know, you're renting out the stadium, all the pyrotechnics, everything, whatever. But I feel like getting 12 or however many cars together would be more expensive.
Alpine were backing it, so I wonder how much
they put up. All right. Well, yeah. Alpine, if you want to back us so that we could do it as well, we should put your name on the front.
If you do Alpine, we will be biased towards you.
Slander
will be paused for the duration.
Because there is a lot. We'll put that to one side.
You're quite easy to slander, Alpine.
There might still be a little bit, I can't lie. Just a tiny bit, but
if you open goals,
won't chat shit about you.
Well, talking of slander, we've seen a little bit of slander. Well, you could say it's slander. You could say it's just common sense from a certain Mr. Nico Rosberg. And if anyone in the F1 world is entitled to have an opinion on the drivers and be, you know, listened to beyond us, to fans who kind of don't really know what they're talking about, it's Nico Rosberg, surely. Talking about Lance Stroll, believes if he doesn't get back to how he should be performing, Aston Martin will need to find a more capable driver.
Yeah, I was going to ask where you were going with he needs to get back to, because he hasn't actually been there. There isn't really a place to get back to, because this is kind of what we've, apart from that one time where he was randomly on pole in Turkey.
This is what I mean.
And that whole time, actually, no, he was all right then.
This is like a super period. Isolated incidences. Incidents. Where, like, yeah, Turkey P1, podium at Monza, which, I mean, big dose of luck, but fair enough.
Because
he got a free tire change in the red flag.
But we mean,
technically, whatever. And the start of 2020, he was actually on flames, was Lance Stroll.
He was
pretty good at the start of 2020.
And when he broke his hand.
Yeah, so
he was actually better then.
Wow, so. Yeah. Bahrain was probably his performance of the year.
Yeah.
I want to just contrast that statement with another statement from, you know, who may have a vested interest, perhaps Mike Crack. Team principal of Aston Martin.
Still not a name that can run, but carry on.
He thinks that Stroll can match Alonso.
Right.
So who's capping? I mean, is it Nico or is it?
It might be Mr. Crack, to be honest with you.
Mr. Crack?
Yeah.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, no,
that's crazy.
To be honest, I thought that quote was going to come from ye olde Lawrence. I'm not going to lie. I thought that might have been Lawrence Stroll coming in with that sort of like.
Yeah, but like, you know who, like, Mike knows who's paying his mortgage.
This is it. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. You know, I think he knows. He doesn't want to upset, you know, Dad Lawrence Stroll, realistically. You know, just pander to his son a little bit. He'll stay in the job for a little while longer. I think that's the vested interest there, because if we really think about it, there's absolutely no world in which Lance Stroll ever matches Fernando Alonso, which is fine. Fernando Alonso is amazing. Fernando Alonso is still amazing, even at his current age. But like, saying that is just criminal. Like, maybe in like 11 years when Fernando Alonso is like 53, potentially. Yeah, that's no fine. Chance. Maybe that's what he's going for. Maybe he just means in general in life, like at some point,
okay,
he'll be able to.
Okay. He wasn't even talking about racing cars. He was just cooking.
Maybe a stroll in the kitchen. To be fair.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, who knows? But well, look, to advocate for the devil somewhat, because in Mike's statement, he referenced the gap between Stroll and Vettel last year and being like, Stroll has proven that he can be close to Vettel, a four-time world champion, and that maybe there's, you know, this is a bad patch of form for Lance. Now, we don't have any straws to clutch.
Yeah, unfortunately.
In the studio right now.
We'll bring them next time.
Yeah. I think, what is that? Like, why was Lance? Because he was, if you look at the numbers, you look at his gap relative to Vettel last year in what was a low car at the start of the year to like low to low midfield car. Him and Vettel were pretty close. I think Vettel had the edge for sure, but you look at the qualifying head to head and average gap and all that, it's pretty close. Why is that gap so much bigger this year?
You know what it feels like? It feels like now that they've got a car that, I mean, obviously, again, they've kind of fallen back a little bit from where they were at the start of the season. Obviously, it's always hard to look from a points perspective because obviously it gets accentuated when you get higher up the order.
True.
Because the gaps between points are massive.
Yep.
So if there's a three-place gap between 13th and 16th, where they were last year, fine, no one cares because neither of you get points.
Yeah.
But when it's for third and sixth, suddenly it's, and that's happening every week, and that's suddenly a lot bigger. I think, if I'm honest with you, I think Fernando is probably just in a slightly stronger position at this point in his career than Seb was in his final year at Aston. I think Seb improved from where he was that sort of like disaster season at Ferrari with that car that was extremely difficult to drive and Spinala gate and whatever. But yeah, I don't know. It might just be a drop off in form, to be fair. But I think, I don't know, Stroll, Lance has been in sort of like average to like middling cars for a while. Maybe he's just struggling to get up to speed with one that's actually a bit quicker. It's got a bit more grip. He's just not used to that. But also, you end up racing the cream of the crop when you get towards the top of the table and the top of the order. And I don't know if he's a cream. He's like the... What's below the cream?
The cream. It's like single cream.
You see, yeah, he's not double. He's not whipped cream. No, he's like, because that does flow at the top.
He's
like the single cream. Single. At the bottom. Still got a whisket. So I think that's my conclusion. Well,
I do think as well. I think, you know, Fernando's gone to Aston Martin and immediately got this car, which, I mean, first race of the season, it was the kind of second quickest. He was up there fighting for comfortable podium in the end. Whereas Sebastian, I think he'd gone to Aston Martin with this, you know, this opportunity presented itself. Things hadn't worked out at Ferrari and they went for him. And during his time at Aston Martin, their performances were, you know, not amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that car struggled when he first jumped into it. It struggled with the new regulations as well. I think that motivation is probably a thing as well. I can imagine, right? Surely Fernando getting this car that's like a top car, clearly at the start of the season, particularly this year, versus Sebastian starting last year with a car that was absolute. And he missed the first couple races, didn't he, as well?
Yeah.
Hülkenberg replaced him. So I think from a motivation point of view, I can imagine that Fernando was going to be more like Vettel retired at the end of last year. He chose to retire.
He made
that decision, you know, like at least, well, whenever he made the announcement in the summer break, he would have made that decision before then
Probably quite a long time before then as well.
So I think a difference in motivation probably accounts for some of that gap. But also, I do think Alonso is the more adaptable driver between him and Vettel. And I think that's why Lance is being put to the sword so badly. But we've talked about this before, you know, this is his seventh year in the sport.
Yeah.
So yes, he's still young, but after 7 years, how much more room is there for you to grow? You look at how impressive Piastri's been after, 14 races in F1. Liam Lawson even, he's had two and he's been pretty decent.
You could argue with both of those, there's been like again, even though Liam has only literally done two races, the improvement that you saw in his second race in comparison to his first was like pretty evident. Oscar throughout the entire year so far, obviously he started off pretty well, struggled because the McLaren was so slow. But now the McLaren is genuinely an easier car to drive, a lot quicker. He has been like progressing the entire way through. So, like I think, honestly, the performances you got out of Stroll in, say, 2019, the same performances you get like now. I don't think, apart from like, there might be some level of experience in some calls, but like Zandvoort, for example, he was one that was really caught out. Though in fairness, Aston Martin made a poor decision with him as well. I think he did want to pit in the rain. But you know, there's certain times we're starting towards the back of the grid, and it's like I don't feel like the experience is actually sort of outweighing the performances at the moment because he's still driving as if it's like 2019 in terms of like overall performance.
It's tough to you can't justify it from a meritocratic point of view. You just can't justify his continued, like, especially if Aston Martin want to go on to achieve things, and that's where
it's when
it's going to get a bit hairy for him.
Yeah, it's like when you're young and you play like for your school or whatever. Playing football for your school, and there's always the kid that plays up front. He doesn't score. He doesn't bag goals. But he's the son of your English teacher.
Bruv, I literally, right, I won't name names, but when I was playing through most of my peak when I was about 15.
Before the knee injury.
Yeah, exactly. Before it went wrong. And there was this kid, man, and he was the manager's son, and he always started in like attacking centre mid. And he was so shit. And I'm like, oh, why was he playing?
Yeah,
it was
just put so him bad. At left back and let's get on with
it. I know.
And
funnily enough, the manager didn't see it because, you know.
Yeah, I wonder why. Lawrence isn't seeing it either, man.
Yeah. Well, look, another driver we've talked at length about, and, you know, because, look, Checo's gone through a difficult period at Red Bull, as did Pierre, as did Alex, right? It's a baptism of fire at that seat. And I don't want to talk about him in this in terms of, I want to talk about what he said. So he's come out, it was really interesting that he made these statements. Basically, to kind of paraphrase, acknowledging that he is keeping his options open for not 2024, so he seems pretty confident he's going to be in that seat in 2024, but from 2025 onwards.
Yeah.
Because I think, well, he's the one who got dropped for Vettel when Vettel came in to Aston Martin. Even though he had a contract. So Checo, as drivers go, like, he knows what it's like to be burnt. But especially that's a team he'd been at for years.
Did a lot for as well.
Yeah, and like got him out of a hole and the old bankruptcy thing, whatever that was. And he still got let go. So it's important for, and I think it's sensible because he know, like, come on, he's not naive to what's going on, all the talk, but also there's all the talk for a reason because it's Red Bull. And I mean, Helmut Marko's flirting with Lando every time he's got a chance as well.
He swiped right on him on Tinder, I'm telling you right now. He super liked him. But Helmut Marko's moving crazily right now. Some of his statements are insane.
And, well, yeah, we won't get too much into that because Helmut Marko, Jesus Christ.
He just talks a lot.
Yeah, far too much. But you look at drivers out of contract by the end of 2024. So these are the opportunities that Checo could potentially find on the grid, if not. Because let's be honest, is Checo likely to be in that seat in 2025? I mean, I think there's still a chance he's not in it next season.
Yeah.
But 2025... no shot. Like, I don't believe that's going to happen. Not with like the murmurings that are being made. But you've got, obviously, Checo's out of contract. Alonso's out of contract in 2024. So potentially in Aston Martin. Leclerc and Sainz are both out of contracts. Piastri, Stroll, Gasly, Gasly, Ocon. Both the Alpine drivers are out of contract. Both the Ferrari drivers. Bottas, Audi. Albon at Williams. And then both Haas drivers, even though they've just extended, but just for 1 year.
So everyone, anyone can get it. No one's actually got a contract for 2025.
Well, what do we think? You know, if you're Sergio Perez, you're Checo Perez right now, and you know everything that's going on, and you feel like
into Checo mode, right?
Is your future at Red Bull safe and secure? It's not secure for sure.
No, absolutely not. No.
Which of those teams? So we're talking Aston Martin, Ferrari, maybe McLaren, Alpine, Audi / Alfa Romeo, Williams, Haas, pretty much everyone.
Yeah. You got free reign.
Who are you flirting with to try and keep that option open? Because Checo only, like, he would have been dropped fully if it wasn't for Albon doing such a bad job in that Red Bull.
Yeah.
And given him the opportunity.
Yeah, he would have.
If Albon had done an all right job, Checo would have been fully out of a seat.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah.
So what does he do?
I think, oh man, it's so difficult because it really does depend on like the rest of the driver sort of shake up. Obviously, I couldn't necessarily see him going back to Aston, I think, just because of how that ended before.
Yeah, that would be mad.
Unless it is his only option, maybe. But either way, I honestly still think Fernando Alonso will be driving at that point.
Almost certainly he'll resign.
Yeah, I genuinely think Fernando will still be driving at that point. So, Ferrari, if the option's there, I think you've got to go for it as Checo, because I think that's probably about as good as it's going to get in terms of like just car performance and how big of a team you're going to go to.
Especially if Science maybe goes to Audi.
Yeah, Audi screams Perez as well, doesn't it? Mm. I think that Audi project definitely starts with one of Science or Perez.
And Sauber is where he started his F1 career as well.
Oh, I like that. That's good for
full circle.
Full circle stuff. And then they bring back Kimi
when
Raikkonen.
They had that fucking awful Chelsea sponsorship on their car.
Yeah,
remember that?
That stunk. Why did they do that? That was crazy.
There's so many F1 football fans or Chelsea fans as well.
Yeah. We've got to fix up. Just as a collective. It's not me. I'm not bringing the team down.
No, same.
Yeah. We support respect. We're fighting the good football fight. Clubs, exactly. That can't run, actually. An F1 car having a football badge on it just can't.
No.
That should be banned from the start.
That's unacceptable.
Imagine Ferrari were just like, we want a Liverpool badge on the front. Even I'd be like, nah, that's ridiculous. What are you doing? I think it screams Audi, or if a Ferrari, or I would personally be flirting with Ferrari and Aston if I'm Checo, the way things are going, but Audi screams him, I'm not going to lie.
Well, because I've seen quotes from Sergio talking about, you know, again, he's in his, I think he's 33, maybe 34. You know, he's got his family now, he's got little ones, and the motivation to carry on when there's not a opportunity to win.
Mm.
Part of me, because again, not for any reason that I think, because I think Checo's a great driver who can do a great job at many a team. And I think Red Bull's just such a difficult environment to be in and thrive when you've got Max there.
Yeah.
I could see him potentially retiring if, you know, if an option like Ferrari, say Science left and they wanted a like for like swap, where I think Checo's, I don't quite consider him as highly as I consider Science, but they're not a mile off. I think they're pretty close. Yeah. If they wanted a like for like swap there, then I think Checo would take that.
And in a car that's probably a bit more broader to drive in the sense of like, it's not,
I think
quite
you could show his ability.
Yeah,
a bit more there. But also, like, I mean, if a Haas presented an opportunity, I as much as I think that would be cool, like a North American driver at a North American team, I think commercially that would work really well. That'd be quite a seamless suit. You know, he could, I mean, Gunther lives in the States, you know, Checo could be a bit closer time. That could maybe make sense because F1's so European centric. But I think Aston Martin would be an appealing one. I think, I can't imagine Alpine being an appealing one. Maybe Audi again, Sauber connection. But I think it's really Ferrari, Aston, Audi are the three that would...
The three that he would want to go to,
and if
obviously.
Not, I think he'd probably just knock it on the head, in my opinion. I couldn't see him... I
it probably
see
just
him
depends,
on.
Yeah. I mean...
I'd love to see Checo in Indy as well, you know.
I think that will happen
one day, when eventually he hangs up from F1.
That was chaos, by the way. I watched the highlights for that.
Eight safety cars. Eight.
That's what we need in Formula 1. That's not what we need in Formula 1.
Eight.
That's crazy.
Callum Wyler, just briefly, he had contacts like right at the start. He spun once. He went off into the gravel. Then he spun on his own coming into the pits. Bit of an awkward, like Grosjean-esque move.
F1 sprint mode. Lobby.
And he was sat there. Kirkwood was like thumb up above the halo, which is quite funny. And then he still finished fifth.
Yeah.
Because he was just that manic.
Carnage. Every single restart, the first corner they'd get to, they'd just take each other out again.
And all of that, and the top three, Dixon, McLaughlin, Palou, are the top three in the championship.
Yeah,
so
even after all that,
they know
cream.
What they're doing.
Not the single cream.
No, the whipped cream. The whipped cream rises
exactly.
to the top.
It does, truly. It does, truly.
Yeah, I think the most interesting, of those three options, I think Audi would be the only one that would make. And again, commercially, that'd be huge because Checo is. I mean, if Croft is right, and eight, which I struggle to believe, he was like 80% of Red Bull merch is shifted to Mexico, but like when you go to Austria or Zandvoort,
it's just all Red Bull. Yeah,
it's all Max Red Bull. So I'm like
80%. Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know, maybe. Because they do love him there, and Mexico's a big country.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'd love to... I think that marriage works again. Like, he comes back full circle. Mm. But we'll see. I mean, again, I think it's sensible that Checo's keeping his options open.
Yeah, in fact.
Because the last thing you want as a driver with that kind of experience is to not leave on your terms, I guess. But there's always a way back as well. I mean, the amount of drivers we've seen step away and then return, be that Hülkenberg or Raikkonen or whatever... You know, I think that Magnussen even.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, coming back after a year, a little hiatus.
He took a year in the States. But obviously, there might be another option for Checo.
Mm. An extra team, if you will.
Andretti. Now, we've talked about this many a time before, Andretti. But it appears from all the, you know, rumour mills that have been stated that the FIA have approved it.
Yeah.
Are going to approve it.
But the F1 teams themselves.
But then that's when the EU comes in.
That's not where I thought you were going to go with this, but continue. Mm.
So apparently, basically F1 can't just say, so, and when I say F1, I just, you know, that's Stefano Domenicali and the teams, Formula One, the commercial rights holder, Liberty Media, them versus the FIA. The FIA can green light it. It's the FIA's championship. They essentially loan the championship out to the commercial rights holder to then run it. The FIA can say yes. The F1 and the teams can say no. But from what I've read, the only legally, the only grounds that they can actually say no on is safety grounds, which clearly isn't a thing.
Yeah.
The teams and all that don't want to split their pie. They're a bit concerned about this team running around at the back, which, I mean, has to run around at the back in their debut season. And
Andretti have got pedigree as well. Like, it's not like, you know.
Yeah.
But HRT.
The point is that the EU could intervene and basically force the move through.
Wow.
Potentially.
Because, okay, fair enough.
You know, you get those, that anti-slap, not anti-slap, sorry. You know, that's something. Oh, that
slaps on, bow, grab the hand, mid-air, anti-slap. Sorry, carry on. Sorry. The intrusive thoughts won there, man. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, God. No, it's... what is it? You know when companies try and buy up other companies and then the government intervenes? It's like, that's just too much of a... There are certain things and with the sport, there are certain rules that are enforced to stop this kind of almost, you know, closed shop approach.
Yeah.
And there could be interference from, you know, so there, I think from what I've been reading, there's more potential than ever for some kind of deal to be struck, some kind of commercial deal, because you could get in a ridiculous position, which is that the team, FIA allow the team entry, but then Liberty basically blur out the cars. Like, that's what's like, if they can't strike a commercial deal, but FIA let them in and they get in, like, there's nothing that they could really do to stop them doing that. There has to be some kind of deal. Otherwise, that would just be hilarious.
No, that would actually be so funny. I just gonna hope that happens. Could you imagine, like, every single, like, frame, they've got a pixelated car out the whole time?
Yeah, but they can do that. You know, you get the graphics that follow the cars.
They're tracked
to the cars. So they could definitely do that. They've got the technology to do that. If they
and
really
Perez is
to.
Approaching an unnamed car.
They
down
just,
the back street.
They just bleep Crofty out every time he has to say.
That's crazy. Oh, my God.
So, I mean,
look. Yeah, I need that, actually.
Surely, like, if it comes, because I think part of the issue as well, you've got the Concorde Agreement now, which is the $200 million buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, these F1 teams are being valued. Mercedes is being valued at close to $4 billion. Ferrari, close to $4 billion. Alpine, $1.5 to $2 billion. Like, McLaren, $2.5 billion, around there.
$200
like,
mil isn't a lot in comparison to that, even though it is a massive amount.
Relative
to those.
Yeah. If you wanted to buy your way in and... You know, you've got your factory, you've got a facility, you've got personnel, staff, F1. You could invest like $1 billion, including paying that entry fee.
Yeah.
And then immediately you have a couple of good seasons and your assets
worth
a
billion
$3 billion.
Again. Yeah, literally, yeah.
So I think that that's part of, I think, the resistance as well. Because I think the commercial rights holders is kind of shit themselves a bit and been like, oh, fuck, $200 million was way too low. Because that is only like $20 million per team. Which is not even the same as two extra positions. So it's not like groundbreaking.
Yeah. But
I think these teams are just being mad selfish. I'd love to ask, just in a press conference, all the team principals. Because the overwhelming majority of fans that I've spoken to...
Of course, yeah. You always want more cars on the grid, naturally. Yeah. Because there's more than 20 amazing drivers in the world that could do a job in Formula 1 as well. For a
Why start. Are you putting your selfish, money-driven interests ahead of the fans, Toto Wolff?
Yeah, specifically.
Christian Horner.
Specifically Toto Wolff.
Yeah, Toto's been very vocal about it,
hasn't
he?
Yeah, yeah.
But we know he's you know, billionaire now, so...
He is. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't need the money, man. Just let Andretti...
Do you reckon it will happen? Do you reckon they'll get him?
I think they will. Eventually. Here and that, if the EU are getting involved, yeah, I back it. You're not going to get in a situation where they're getting pixelated on the TV, even though I think that would be so fucking funny. I would love that so much. That'd be great.
Like, even that wheel-to-wheel battle would be really difficult
Yeah. On the podium, like if five of them get on the podium, they just stick a massive F1 sticker over the front.
Have you seen that Black Mirror episode where they do that?
No, which one?
Yeah, so I can't remember what one it's called, but...
What, Andretti are in?
No.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's like, if you're, it's like a way of, so everyone's got these implants.
Yeah.
And so basically, if you get like, I don't know, this guy got done for something, and instead of sending him to prison, what they do is they fuck your implant, so everyone you see is blurred and you can't hear anyone either. So you're like walking around, and then to everyone else, you are a big red blur.
That's cold.
Yeah.
That would send you insane though.
I reckon they watched that. I reckon that was that's a good idea to
Let's
punish Andretti
and all the drivers.
One into, I mean, the thing is that the Andretti's definitely when they waded in. Do you remember all the quotes they were making back? These teams are being selfish, which is not untrue.
Yeah, no.
But if you got to at least try and befriend the paddock.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to want an entry, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Like, especially when they're the ones that are trying to block you. You kind of just got to be like, you just got to take it on the chin and be like, well, I know why they're doing it, but maybe we shouldn't outwardly poke the bear. It's like
if you're waiting outside the house to get in the house party and you're are you fucking wankers, like,
yeah, you're not getting in.
It's unorthodox strategy, isn't it?
If you meet your girlfriend's parents for the first time and you get in an argument with the dad, you're not going around the house ever again.
Yeah, you gotta be strategic, man. Even if you don't like him, you gotta be strategic for that.
You've just gotta
play the long game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, we'll see with Andre. Maybe that's an option. But there was another interesting quote in terms of driver future. And this was from Emerson Fittipaldi, who's 1970-something. Can't remember. Eight?
Olden days.
Early 70s, I think. Champion with McLaren. He believes that Charles Leclerc's seat at Ferrari is less secure than Carlos Sainz's.
What's his reasoning for that?
I mean, he says Leclerc Golden Boy for the past few seasons. But contract's up next season. And I just like Science, right? Science is performing better this season, heading the championship. Debatable. Did outscore Charles last year.
Yeah.
Strategic errors and Carlos. Carlos seems to, again, he's the one who's been put in rank more often than not with Ferrari. I've talked about this before. I think Carlos Sainz is quite an underrated driver. You look at throughout his career, you know, he was closer to Max. After Ricciardo, Sainz was the next closest to Max in equal machinery of any of Max's teammates. Yes, they were both very young.
Yeah, that wasn't like, I was about to say Max was obviously young, but so was Carlos. Like, yeah. Both early on in their career.
And then Lando, like they had 2-3 years together.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Was it two?
Yeah, two.
Yeah, and Sainz was, yeah, how highly we hold Lando now. I know Sainz is more experienced, but like they were pretty close, if not Sainz kind of, well, he edged it in points anyway. And now against Charles Leclerc, I think that teammate balance again in terms of ability, he's really close to Charles and did a fantastic job in Monza.
Yeah, started off slowly, didn't he, when he first got in the Ferrari, making some unforced errors. But like,
I think it'd be a big mistake. I think more than ever, it'd be a big mistake for Ferrari to allow Carlos Sainz to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, certainly for, because I think you've got that quite good balance. I mean, we talk about teammates that are very close and sort of the pitfalls that, like the pros and cons, obviously, like
too close.
With Max and Checo right now, it's too far apart. With Lewis and Nico when they were together, too close. You kind of want that little bit of a little bit of breathing space, track dependent or whatever. And I think there is that. Like Charles, I think Charles overall, like one lap wise, is better than Carlos. But in terms of consistency, Science probably has the edge there. And overall, they're not too close that they're always on the same part of track every single lap, every single race, to end up having collisions with each other. Realistically, the only time we've even seen them potentially do that was last week at Monza. Before that, I haven't actually, you know, there hasn't really been an example I can remember off the top of my head where they've caused problems with each other. They're also pretty level-headed. I think they're just a good teammate partnership. I think if you can keep them together in the long term for Ferrari, I think it'd be a good move. Whilst,
mate,
they've not really got any juniors ready. Ollie Behrman's going to be sick eventually, but like try and... If you can try and shoehorn him in somewhere else into F1.
Don't rush him in,
Yeah, because he's still like 12 or whatever. So it's fine. Like, you got time.
Yeah, look, I think Ferrari is like, when I look at that actual balance of performance, both drivers, and I think, yeah, obviously, you know, they're under pressure because they're Ferrari. You know, there's huge scrutiny from Italian media and pressure and expectation that comes with that seat.
Yeah.
And I think where, you know, Charles is a bit more crash happy, doesn't help his case. But I think, like, of all the pairings on the grids, that for me is like, if I'm a team principal and I'm trying to achieve, you know, success with a team, and ultimately, you know, it's very rarely do you see all the cards being thrown completely behind one driver in such a flagrant, even, I don't even think that happened with Lewis and Bottas. I think Bottas was allowed the opportunity, was allowed to be close at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And actually, no, I think that's unfair to Robert, maybe. I think Perez was allowed to be close to Max at the start of the year because it was 2-2 at the start of the year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But then when Max got on top of the car, that's when it
fell apart. Yeah.
There's nothing that Checo could do. I don't even think it was so much the team interfering, to be fair. But I just think that I think Science and Leclerc's fight, I think that's a quality part.
I think it's great. Obviously, the quotes as well after Monza, they were both just like, oh, that was great. I loved that. I genuinely thought Carlos was going to come out. I know it's probably
if they
crashed into each other, different story.
What are they saying?
Carlos was just like, yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed that. Had proper fun, great battling my teammate. On to the next one. I was just expecting him to complain and be like, Charles should have been, you know, shouldn't have been attacking me, whatever. We should have brought it home. And they were both just like, yeah, it was great fun, lads. Next week.
Which, you know what? Same time. So refreshing, because that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Like, we're watching racing, you know what I mean? And it's like, yes, obviously there's teammate politics. I understand that. But this is what we want to see. We want to see these best riders. And you know what? Like, ultimately, teammates battling, they are the only, like, we talk about F1 and it's like not equal and the Red Bull's way better than the Haas and whatever. But it's like, for, you know, these pairings, they are in the same car. So we are seeing in those pairings the two different drivers battling in the same car.
Yeah.
And Science did have that, although he was a bit naughty in his defense of all times, but because it was teammates, they're not going to cry about it. Yeah. I mean, there's no way Carlos holds onto that position if that's another car they're fighting, because that position has been taken off of him 100%. That defense into turn four, Carlos. That was, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
he knew exactly what he was doing.
That was great.
But yeah, so as much as I get that Fittipaldi, what he's kind of saying, but do I actually think that them two are under pressure? I mean, Science, Leclerc in particular. Leclerc's going to be fine. I mean, I can't see him leaving Ferrari again. If it comes good.
Not through Ferrari's choice.
To win at Ferrari. No. I don't think through his either. I really don't.
Well, I mean, what's a more attractive option?
Yeah, and it's still just a chance somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's still a chance and opportunity. And I just think that. But I don't think. I don't know. It's a different era, isn't it? You look at when Schumacher came into that team and he took Ferrari by the scruff of the neck and he pulled them to success and won their first title for 21 years. Leclerc's not that character. He's not that same leader character, I don't believe. Than like Schumacher's a tall order to like stand up to, of course.
Yeah, I mean, just dragging a team on your own back and just being like, right, we're going to win championships now is not really something that a lot of drivers can do.
But again, it's a different era these days. And I think that, for a driver to come through and do that with a team, I think is more difficult now than it ever would be.
Yeah, facts.
But also, wanted to talk about something that I was so glad, and a lot of people were like, oh, you're a Red Bull fan, because, shut up, right?
I'm an F1 fan.
That is a bold statement, okay. By the way. You being a Red Bull fan.
I don't know.
I don't think I've heard that one before.
I don't know where that comes from. So basically, the cost cap, everyone has passed. Well done, everyone. Congratulations.
Well done. Well done,
and
gang.
Obviously,
you didn't spend all your money.
Well, look, I mean, maybe. That might come out in the future,
shout
maybe.
Shout out catering gang.
Because, of course, people were straight away, as soon as it was like everyone's passed, everyone was like tinfoil hat time. Oh, what does that actually, I bet, oh, they all overspent and they're just not doing, punishing them anymore and blah, blah, blah. How does, I'm glad that, because I didn't think the Red Bull punishment was enough of a dissuasion.
Yeah. Personally. No, neither did I.
But
clearly it is, because no one's failed it.
No. I still think the punishment should have been more. Yeah. But maybe that's easy for saying hindsight, because the Red Bull was so clear and it would potentially make it a bit more exciting. I could admit that.
Okay. I mean, to be fair,
I'm a bit of a hypocrite. It's fine.
Even with the punishment they did get, they're still dominating, man. Like, yeah. It's still impressive, because they were punished like a decent amount. It was probably just like not as harsh as it could have been.
And that punishment would, even if you'd have halved their ATR, that still wouldn't have come into account even now, because
to like next season, because it's the car that they were building at the time of the
exactly. But I'm glad that, you know, because what I was concerned about is that every year this becomes a topic of discussion, and then we look into the whole, you know, I mean, hashtag Red Bull cheats was like trending obviously on the day, people were bringing that up, and understandably so, right? I get the frustration, but realistically, was a 400,000 or 500,000 overspend, is that enough to make them, you know, as dominant as they are? No, obviously not. But
Max's,
I get it.
Max's bonuses.
It sows the season.
Keep him without that. No, literally, no. It's genuinely not like going to put them in the position that they're in now.
It sows the seeds of mistrust. But what I do want to lead on to is something I was reading earlier about AlphaTauri bringing big upgrades for this weekend, Singapore. And very in line with Red Bull, because, you know, the strategy up to this point has been that AlphaTauri kind of do their own thing. And AlphaTauri don't lean on Red Bull, or haven't been leaning on Red Bull as much as Haas lean on Ferrari.
Yeah,
honestly, which is mad.
I'm not being funny. AlphaTauri, just swallow the pride, just build another Red Bull. What are we doing here? Like, they've literally, they're the junior, well, it's not the junior, they don't like being the junior team, the sister team, whatever. You're still related, right? They're still on the same family tree. Mm-hmm. You've got Red Bull, who are literally dominating Formula One right now. Just at least look at the notes. At least look at the blueprint. I know we don't have to build the same car, because obviously you're not allowed to do that. I know there was like, because when, I remember when Toro Rosso first joined F1, and I think they used the Red Bull for like the year before, and everyone was like, you can't do that. That can't run. You've just nabbed the car out of the skip in the back. But like, at least look at some of the notes, because you've got AlphaTauri at the bottom of the Constructors' Championship right now. Like,
yeah,
what are we doing here?
But you know what, like, I'm a bit gassed about, though, the idea.
Hugo Boss Racing?
No. The idea of this weekend in Singapore, the AlphaTauri actually being quite good.
Yeah.
With like Yuki and Liam in it.
Yeah. Is it confirmed, by the way, that Liam's going to be driving in Singapore?
Right, yes. Okay. He will be driving in Singapore and Japan.
Oh, wow.
As well.
Ah.
So it's looking like Qatar's going to be Daniel's first race back. So
that's a sticky one, you know.
Yeah,
it's how many Grand Prix are there from Qatar onwards? About five. Ooh. Qatar, Kota, Mexico,
Vegas, Brazil.
Oh, so it's six. Abu Dhabi,
yeah.
He's gonna have six Grand Prix to show why he should be in F1 next season.
Look, it would have been like Ricardo and Liam let's assume Ricardo is backed by Qatar, then him and Liam would have had a similar number of races, actually, which, I mean, from a Red Bull point of view, as much as obviously they never would have wished the injury on Daniel, like, the silver lining is that they will have learned a little bit about both.
About both, yeah.
Which is
just about enough about both. I mean, Liam is only going to get four Grand Prix, like a minimum, I guess.
But I mean, Peter Byers talking about, you know, I still really don't know. Those three seats, man, I'm worried. I'm worried for one of them, because I feel like Lawson Sonoda kind of fits the junior kind of profile of that team historically. But Peter Beyer, who's like the CEO of AlphaTauri, has come out and said, you know, like, we're not just going to, he's like almost name dropped Ricardo in terms of like, we're not just going to stick with juniors necessarily. He's kind of kept that on the table.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's going to be an interesting one. But it does, I am kind of, because I understand where a lot of the mistrust around AlphaTauri, Red Bull, that relationship, and, you know, like, Red Bull have benefited from having a second team, especially when they first started trying out the Honda engines.
Yeah, yeah.
They gave it to Toro Rosso first before they dropped Renault. And it's like, I'd love to get to a stage where all these teams are kind of functioning independently, because it does feel like if Andretti get in, it will be with a heavy connection to Alpine, Renault
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, Haas Ferrari is really close, and there's I mean, again, there's not murmurings. If Ferrari were winning and Haas were really good as well, there would be more controversy
yeah.
about that, how close that connection is.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not, so no one cares, which I think goodness literally said this.
Yeah.
Because they're done, but no one cares.
Yeah, but no one's, but realistically, like, it is a little bit.
I just, yeah.
Suspicious.
I don't like, engines is fine, you know, but then when you're like really sharing components, I think that does call into question, rightly or wrongly, but it, whether or not anything untoward is happening, regardless, it sows those seeds of doubt, I think, in fans' minds. And yeah. I think that's ultimately the problem.
What you want to get away from. I'm still just not sure Daniel Ricciardo will want to drive for Alpha, Boss, Hugo, Tauri, Rosso, whatever the fuck it's going to be called next season. I don't want that for him.
Do you know?
Frankly, I'd rather see him on TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah, his TikToks. TikToks do pretty well.
The Red Bull TikToks. I'd genuinely rather see him live stream or something. On my life, I would rather see that than him rocking around at the back in an AlphaTauri all year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I think these drivers, you know, him and, well, we talked about Checo earlier, like, them two are same age, same kind of generation coming through. Bottas as well. Those three are all kind of around the same age.
Yeah.
And it gets to a point where, you know, Valtteri's in an Alfa Romeo that's a pretty awful Romeo, stuck at the back, and you've got Perez, who's, you know, he's already looking for options out of Red Bull, and you've got Ricciardo in a really precarious position. Like, it, you know, there's some drivers like Fernando who seem to be like motivated by the driving first and foremost, yeah. and will return even if you've got, like, he's had some time away.
GP2 engine, or yeah, just do whatever there is to race.
Go and race, Le Mans,
race it, yeah,
and like, do it, and comes back and doesn't look like he's going anywhere. But also, you have to sacrifice a lot, right, for an F1 career. And I think, I wonder how much Daniel is prepared to. Because again, this is only he's going to be fighting too for now, surely, for that rebel seat next year. I feel like that's surely the case. And if Perez is keeping his options open elsewhere,
yeah.
But you can't. There's three seats and there's four drivers gone in for him.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your latest on AlphaTauri seats?
We have to kind of do this like
a weekly running.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, I'm still going Tsunoda and Lawson, man. That's my jam. Liam did well last week. Yuki's the greatest of all time. So,
that is true.
How tall is Liam, by the way? Do you know?
Ooh,
is he a tall boy or is he small?
Yeah, because I did a car thing with Liam Lawson once. I think he was. I don't remember him being like particularly tall, but not noteworthily small.
Right, so the average height is still like. Below,
yeah. I mean, he's sub 6 foot. I'm almost
all right. So we've So still probably got the lowest average height on the grid. Because I think that's what they've got to keep.
Oh yeah, with De Vries and Tsunoda, kind of
they've got. Yeah, because De Vries, brav, that was like one meter.
That was the lowest, wasn't it? Because I think it used to be Anthony Davidson, and I think it was Davidson and Sato. I think had the record before.
I'll be honest, I didn't even know that was a thing they kept records for.
Yeah, I remember them talking about it on Sky Sports, and having Anthony Davidson say he used to be the joint last with Sato. But
yeah, Sonoda and De Vries.
We'll see.
I miss De Vries, man. Do you think he's got a chance of getting back in the test drive little simulator thing or something?
Oh, like, yeah, he'd do the simulator at Brackley at Mercedes, but I don't see him getting back in.
That's a big rip, man. Did he ever win that money off that guy, that lawyer?
I think it was fine. I think that all got sorted out. I think Red Bull probably helped him out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't speculate on that. But.
Yeah, allegedly.
And look, again, I mean, Polo got another podium. So, crazy. Even though he's like talking about, obviously, Chip Ganassi next year.
Yeah, because he's not really, I don't see him driving like an AlphaTauri, but I would see him driving a Williams if Logan Sargeant got the boot.
Well, Logan's talked, he needs to drive this car on a knife edge, apparently. And Alex has said there's the only opportunity for points for the rest of this year is Vegas, pretty much. So
yeah, because it's straight line city, isn't it?
Yeah, but they were quick in Zandvoort. But you're saying
that made no sense. I don't know why. I suppose it's high speed still, but
yeah, but high temp degradation on the tyres is a killer for Williams. So we'll see. All right, mate. Should we wrap it?
I think so, lads.
Yeah. Should we? Where can everyone find us? Even though they've already listened. But
yeah, I was gonna say, well, if you are here already.
But
you know what? Actually, that is such a good point. I've never realised that before. Why do people always go, this is where you can find
where
us?
Where else can you find us?
Okay, all right. So you got me now. Right. If you're listening in audio only, give us a 5-star rating on Spotify. But if you do want to see the visuals of the show as well, then watch on YouTube. That's where we are.
Yeah, a nice little set with the flashy lights and all
that. Yeah, exactly, mate. It lights up during the live show. It goes yellow and there's a yellow flag and shit. It's amazing.
It's crazy. Check it out. The live show. Also, quick prediction for Singapore. Bold prediction. Any prediction, go.
Fuck it. Tsunoda finishes sixth.
Oh.
Top six.
I'm saying Lawson points, actually. I think, nice.
I like that.
The RB80.
Is that what it's called?
It will be.
RB80.
No. RB. Rebel AlphaTauri.
Oh, right. I like that. I thought you meant the name of the car.
Yeah. Let's rename it from the AT04 to the RB80.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Also, hopefully it'll be a banger.
I've kind of realised that actually now that we've had this domination for a season, I kind of just want Red Bull to win every single race.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, no, literally been held captive by the domination of Red Bull and I just want them to win everything. But it's that sort of like, what was the point? What was the point in being so dominant if it didn't win every race? So I actually want that to happen. Now it's reverse psychology.
Yeah, you know what? It would be quite a cool stat as long as they have to work for them, as long as it's competitive. I want to see final lap battles, right? Max can win all the rest. Checo can win all the rest, right? I just want to see scraps.
Yeah, scraps, if they win by 45 seconds, I'm going to top myself.
That's my priority, right?
All right.
Scraps at the front. Bosh, job done. Right. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for tuning in. And we'll see you for the live stream
indeed
on Sunday.
Singapore.
See ya.
Goodbye.